good to go, baby.
Let's go, Hatter and the Jordan.
Another episode. This one's going to be a lot of fun, Jim.
Yeah.
That we talk about often. It's really important to live free. And the topic is youth sports.
Youth sports, my man. So tell me a little bit about yourself as a youth athlete and like what you got out of sports. How you kind of grown?
Bottom line, I grew up from Bridgeport. I was a pretty decent athlete. And I never worked really hard at sports, but sports came natural to me. Sports were super important to me because they kept me out of trouble. Point blank, period. Without sports, I would have gotten into a lot of trouble. So had some really good coaches along the way, kept me out of trouble. And yeah, that's how I view my experience. And it's that simple.
Yeah.
How about you?
I break it down into two different things. I break it down into organized sports and then my life in sports. What's interesting is I sat here and like thought about what I wanted to talk about with regard to youth sports. I think a lot about like sports impact on me. Like I'm an incredible free throw shooter. All right. The reason I'm an incredible free throw shooter is because whenever there was strife in my house or element of opportunity that I wanted to kind of escape. And again, I'm not saying that there was always strife in my house. I was a blessed kid, have a great family. We had our problems, no doubt, but my escape always was go outside and I would shoot hoops. Our basketball hoop was right there in the driveway and I would just sit there and do free throws.
Out of all the sports.
Disciplined.
Out of all the sports, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And then the other thing for me was that it was also, you know, I used it as opportunities to sometimes do things by myself. Like one of my favorite games to play was I would close our garage doors. And I would have a tennis ball. I'd be like 40, 50 feet away. And I would try to hit the lock, you know, and I would just sit there hours. And there's a lot of imagination in it for me.
Yeah.
There was a lot of like pretending, you know, sometimes it was like a situation that was connected immediately to something that may be happening in my life, whether it was like a Little League game or something like that. Or then other times it was like a grander scale. Like I was on the Boston Red Sox and I was sitting in the bottom of the ninth trying to get it done. So like my memories of sports, like the ones that I, as an adult now, sit back and reflect upon as being like roots of like who I was as an athlete, it was those things I did in my house. Like I was always playing sports, always doing something, connecting it to you know, an element of who I was.
Yeah.
So that to me was a huge part of these sports that I think oftentimes we overlook, you know, while we're doing it,
sure.
You know?
It's fascinating because, you know, we talk about like this generation doesn't play outside. Maybe, you know, we both have kids in youth sports right now, heavy into youth sports, different sports, same sports. We share that. I don't know that these kids do that too much. Sometimes we do. I remember going over to the McCaff house and having the having Fenway built out there. Armando went home the next day, made me paint lines in my backyard as well. But we don't see that too much.
I don't know.
Lost little thing. Maybe we do.
See, for me, I call those like the smile moments where I look outside at my like son Miles or I'll look at my son James out there just like doing something without me telling them to go do it. You know, like Miles, after our hockey thing that we had, you know, our 24-hour hockey game, went home and just practiced doing Michigan's like Swaggy P and like come inside. I'm Swaggy P. He would spend a few minutes out there doing it. And I think, you know, what I try to reflect upon in my individual opportunities that I went outside to play sports, like be a kid.
Right.
I don't remember like putting a time limit on it. Maybe it was like, maybe there were times I went out there, I struck out the first three hitters with 9 pitches and I was done. I went back inside and like, was like, I'm bored, Mom.
Right.
You know, I'm sure that happens, you know, just like it does with my kids from time to time. Cause we say they don't have the attention span or things like that.
Yeah.
And I've been victim to this. So don't get me wrong, people. Like Dan entered this with us saying kids these days don't know how to do this. And I think it's true to a point. But maybe a part of it too is us overemphasizing the competitive side of things.
Like
become better at this, improve it.
Yes.
You know?
And we share this. Mm-hmm. I think the fun part of sports is slowly becoming lost, especially as the kids get to the next level of sports. Our boys are 12 and 13. Sports are starting to get super competitive. And I think that they're losing that fun part of it.
Correct.
There's a lot of kids that I see that haven't really they haven't done a lot of progression in terms of their skills, and then instantly the game doesn't become fun anymore.
Right.
And we forget that a lot of these times these are children's games that are being played.
Correct.
And it's really hard to understand that, or for me to see that these children games are not fun for children.
Right. So in the same respect, though, it's hard to find that balance too, where it's like, I can't show up at a field to host a practice with 11 baseball players as a coach and say, all right, guys, we're going to go up to the building over there and I want you to hit that one little brick, you know, three times, and in your mind, invent a game and bring yourself into a scenario, right? Like, we can't create imaginative play in a group setting, right? So, like, I started this by talking about what sports meant to me as an individual.
Yeah.
Sports then takes on a whole nother aspect when it becomes a team game, right? It becomes something that we participate in. And, like, team games exist in every sport, even the individual ones like golf and tennis and running. Like, you are part of a team competing for something. So when you add that team component to it and a universalized approach by a mentor or leader or coach that's standing there, that's where everything changes, right? And I think that this is really, like, the important thing, because we rely on volunteers to make sure that youth sports moves forward. And those volunteers are people that have a huge variety of experience in sports, right? And I think that that's where a lot of the struggle starts, right? And this isn't bashing volunteers. I've been a bad volunteer coach before. I've been a good volunteer coach before. But I think what it means is, like, I'm growing as a person, you know? So
now you talk about volunteer coaching, and then you go into, well, then what's the alternative? It's paid coaching. And this, I think, is where the challenge and the water starts to get a little muddy, because then now you're paying a coach. Now you have different expectations.
Yeah.
Right. And those expectations are like, well, if I'm paying you, I better be getting something out of this. And sometimes what I have found, And I want to ask your opinion, but what I found is what we are looking for out of it as adults might be wrong, because we're not looking at what the kids should be getting out of sports.
Right. So the concept of wrong, I think, is interesting. We talk about this a lot, too. I feel like we have to stop telling our audience that we talk about this a lot. But like the idea here is there has to be balance, right? And as an adult that sees potential in our children, you know, like, oh, they're really good at this, this, or this, they just went and did this, perhaps they'd be better. We want to provide that opportunity for them, right? Because if someone didn't do that to David Ortiz at some point in his life, he wouldn't have become the most clutch hitter in Red Sox history and be someone I idolize and my son idolizes, and that brings us together, right? So there's that. But then there's, like, the kid that just overcomes a fear at one point in the game, finally does it, and that overcoming that fear in baseball at age 12 is ultimately the psychological move that helps him gain confidence in something else later in his life, thus becoming somebody who either finally tells somebody to F off or finally has confidence in who they are as a person. Like those are two drastic differences in what sports contributes to who we are, right? So addressing, like, the competitive side, if we are going to pay somebody to coach our kid and be out there, you know, trying to help them get better, then yeah, we are kind of investing in it. What I hope, though, that ends up happening is we've tried to vet that coach in some capacity.
Yeah.
Like, I feel as a paid coach, I am a paid high school running coach, you know, and I feel like I'm a pretty damn good one. And the vetting for that was going to an interview and talking about why I thought I'd be good at coaching and what I wanted to bring to the program. The questions that I found that were really great for my athletic director were about, like, why do I feel compelled to do this? And whenever you start talking about compulsion, that's when you start talking about being called to do something.
Yeah.
So I don't know if being a coach necessarily has to be connected directly to righteousness, but you need to feel called to do what you're doing, not just be there to try to make a dot.
Yeah, the good coaches usually do. So I want to just talk a little bit about where my outlook on youth sports kind of happened, tying Live Free into it. So a few years back, we teamed with a local baseball organization, and we hosted a baseball, what we were calling a tournament, essentially. It was right in a COVID year. So what ended up happening is we didn't want to get too many teams in because people were still social distancing. So we got two programs in, and this was all for charity. There was no registration fees. Just go out and fundraise as best you can. Let's play some baseball. and it was a best of three series for each team, and it turned into something that I didn't like. There were coaches yelling at kids, there was parents yelling at umpires, yelling at their kids, and you know, you see that often, particularly in baseball. I'm sure it's every sport. It is every sport. I notice that now as my kids play more sports, but baseball was particularly, again, just using that as the example because it was what was in front of me at the time. What I found was that it was normal behavior. They weren't doing anything out of the blue. They weren't misbehaving per se, because that is the standard, right? Coaches yell at umpires and coaches yell at kids and parents get involved and they want their kids to do well and they go overboard, right? But because of the environment that it was a charity setting, it kind of really opened my eyes, like, wow, we can't even tame this in the setting that it should be tamed in.
Right. We can't tame it in adult wood bat softball, right, on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, right. But exactly right. And so knowing that that's where sports are, I guess, in the community and in our lives right now, really wanted to set out to do something different and show, not change it, but to show the alternative to the competition. Yeah. And which is the beautiful part of sports. It's the one that most everybody is attracted to in sports. And that is the human story,
right,
the compassionate side of sports.
Right.
So I was super inspired by those people, even though I thought that a lot of these people were misbehaving. At the same time, they were giving an answer to a problem. They were showing me a problem that we had. That I think universally a lot of people feel it, but don't, because it's been so standard in life that is accepted. But I think that we have an opportunity now to show them that there's an alternative to that.
Yeah.
And in comes Live Sports.
Yeah, enter Live Sports, right? Yeah. And again, that's what I love about that origin story, is that it grew from an observation about something we ran. So we weren't sitting back on a soapbox looking out at all of the dangerous youth sports that existed and said, we're going to change this in spite of you, because of you, right, because of you. No, it's an observation that in something we're trying to create, it happens. We get caught up in it too.
Just 100%.
And you should get caught up in competition sometimes. Sometimes it's very important, you know, but the word sometimes is really important there, because there is balance in it, whether you realize it or not. You know, there's opportunity to find compassion. I love the example of ESPN Sports Center. You know, there's a reason why there's creative producers that are within there that don't just, if it was all about competition, there would be no feel-good stories peppered within.
Ever.
Highlight after highlight after highlight after highlight after highlight.
The best part of ESPN are those feel-good stories.
It's a story.
The story.
And that is what sports are, right. You know? And you feel a compulsion and a connection to them. You know, my son is watching on Netflix, the Clubhouse, it's called. It's about the Red Sox. And they had an unsuccessful season. And it was another one of those, like, behind-the-scenes things where they were hoping to track them to a championship, right? And within all of it, the human side of it is been the best part. In fact, that's what he said. He said, Dad, these guys are humans. And I'm like, boom, that's it, buddy. You know, like, he goes home to his apartment alone and thinks about some of the things you think about, that's, you know, right. And then you see them come together. I think getting us back to what we want to do here, I think that is really the important end of what Live Sports represents.
Yeah.
Live Sports shows our clients, our athletes that participate in our programming, that they represent a platform of hope. That's, they right, represent an opportunity to use the thing that they are passionate about for good.
Yeah.
All right. And for competition. That competition and compassion are both there.
Yeah.
And that's what we want our athletes to see.
A nice even balance during that one small event.
Right.
Yeah, it's great. The other part is building a community for Live Free,
yep,
around sports. That was an idea that I had on my way over here to do this today, was like, there's a real opportunity here for us to build a genuine community.
Right.
Sports brings people together.
It does.
Like, it's probably, and, the most,
right,
the most, it through all of human history throughout the world, right?
Right.
Sports bring people together. And I think this is going to be a really cool way for us to bring people together towards our mission. So really quick, because I'm sure people don't know, because we're just now launching Live Sports and we're close to time. Tell us a little bit about what Live Sports and this mission that you're going to be heading up with.
Live Sports. So again, like Live Sports, like we said, is about using this as a platform of good. Use your passion for sports as a platform of good. We're going to break it into two elements right now, jamborees and camps. So a jamboree is an exhibition style weekend long event where teams will be able to come participate in the event, raise funds, and the team that raises the most money is the champion for Live Free. They usually get 3 to 4 round robin style games that are not bracketed, where you have an opportunity to play against other people. And to speak to what you were talking about, the best part of it is that, yes, the rivalry exists as they're on both sides of the diamond, but we bring them together in the middle to kind of share and talk about what they're here to do, make them interact with each other prior to a game, not just after as you shake hands. And then the camps are going to be structured around a curriculum that's called the Champions Curriculum that's going to really stand for four like coaching activation pillars that we have, and those are confidence, comfort, growth, and control. These four things are really like the impetus for teaching us things, so that we start with confidence. Confidence is all about showing courage in the face of fear. We talked about this all in our hero cycle, how everybody is scared of something when they go out there to perform and do something in their sport. So let's address that and work, instead of just exposing the fear, let's work on helping ourselves reinforce it. And then we have comfort. You know, the concept of embracing the challenge response. Like, you have to go for it, right? You have to inch your way out of your comfort zone in order to really show growth. So we want to build comfort in that. And then there's the growth mindset. We have to be able to grow when we win, when we lose, and when we have neutrality. And that neutrality isn't just necessarily apathy. It's me throwing a ball against the wall outside, you know?
Sure.
And then the last one being control. Control the things that we can and recognize the things that we can't. And through that curriculum, we're going to hopefully execute single sports camps, as well as teach our kids how to be better athletes out there.
Love it, man. So we're approaching 17, but I just want to tell you that I'm really excited about this. I know that we've done a few of them. They've shown a lot of promise. The stuff that we have going on that you've built and you're building now, it's going to be incredible. We're going to build an incredible team over it too, and we're going to build a community ultimately.
That's it, man.
And really excited about it. So I want our next one to be about this. I want to continue this.
I do. This is probably that.
There's
one stuff. This is like track one of the title.
Really quick, I know you're going to London.
Yeah, man.
Good luck on your run, the London Marathon.
Yeah, when this airs, I'll probably be walking the stairs still back to the office. But yeah, heading to London this weekend to run the London Marathon.
Oh, man, good luck.
Great, thank you.
We'll be cheering for you across the pond, brother.
There you go.
All right, man.
All right.
All right, brother. I'll see you.